how super duper hyper sensitive he is. By sensitive, I don't mean, you know, in a natural world when sometimes it sounds sensitive, they're easily hurt and irritable, etc., hard to get along. We're not talking about sensitive means that he is so awesome and so knowing. He knows from one idea the end of the idea, and he senses that straight away. And you sense his grief. And even when you're talking with people or you're fellowshipping, one wrong word from the person, and it's just like the spirit jumping. Oh! That's how it is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And if ever this is a sensation, it's like, in the early days, I don't realize how the Holy Spirit was like, but when I began to walk closely with Him, oh, no wonder I can understand what David said. When David said, "Take not thy spirit from me." When the Holy Spirit is really displeased with you, and His presence leaves you, as a person, you feel, this is what it feels like, you feel very, very sick. So much that even the symptom starts appearing when you begin to walk closely with Him. If you have a sick feeling, I'm struggling with words to describe some spiritual experiences in the natural. But that's the fourth area, the person of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people are grieving Him without knowing Him. There's a slightest thing in His grief. Very, very, very sensitive, the Holy Spirit. It's just like supposing that there's a healing anointing and people get healed. Some of the natural tendencies we do is we begin to say, "Oh, praise God, praise God!" Straight away His grief. You know why? There's a time to clap. There's a time to be quiet. Now the opposite is, when He wants us to rejoice and we say, "Praise God," He's also grieved, just to be balanced. But I have to illustrate with things that you possibly experience. I'm trying to get the same experience so that we could convey the understanding and truth. Where sometimes you could sense it in a meeting, there's a stillness that comes. And then if somebody interrupts it by their zeal, the spirit is grieved. Even though that person who did it has good intentions. That's how sensitive the Holy Spirit is. If you want to move deeper in the Spirit, oil is your next two. The person of the Holy Spirit. Last and fifth is in chapter 4. When the Shunammite woman's son died, and she came and sought the man of God. You notice we are only touching on themes, right? In chapter 4, Elisha sent Gehazi in verse 29. He said to Gehazi, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 29, "Get yourselves ready and take my staff in your hand, and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. If anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child." Fifth is the staff of Elijah. Elisha, that is. That staff represents authority. Now here are some of the keys. Each one of these have different keys. Each story that is recorded about these methods has truths on all the sidelines. Elisha told Gehazi, if you use that staff, you must not greet people on the left or on the right. In other words, the authority in the Bible, the authority of their relationship with God. In the New Testament, the authority of the believer. Do you know that if you exercise authority, the authority can bring in the anointing too? That is where you learn the faith side. If there is no sense of the presence of God, But you begin to exercise by faith the authority that you know is yours through your revelation of God. And you begin to take authority and you begin to understand authority. Authority can also bring in a moving of the Spirit. But there is an important point here. He says, Gehazi, don't turn to the left or right. Don't greet anyone. Now that is a difficult thing to do. If, I mean, you're good nature, you like to greet, say hello, you know. Where are you going? I'm on my way to lay my staff on that person. Right? Be more friendly. Do you know that Catherine Kuhlman tapped on literally all five? Although she may not put it the way I have put it here, in these 5 points, on the strength, on the level of the anointing. Let me illustrate with something from her life experience. In her meetings, she would not allow anybody to make noise when she doesn't want noise. Do you notice that some men of God are that way too? I happen to be more tolerant. Because the way I operate the anointing is slightly different. I don't depend so much on the staff area. I depend on the... You probably notice I depend more on the minstrel side. But there are some who depend more on the staff side. See, these are the five keys that people have used. Some men of God, I won't mention the name, when they start their meeting, thou shall not walk, move, stir, look around, or go to toilets. Yes. And if you attend their meetings, please submit. Don't fight, don't argue. You know why? Because you're going to the toilet can for them mean losing their anointing. So you must understand the way they operate. So if you know that they are going to minister, go before coming in. Or take a potty along with a curtain. Whichever way. Or get adult size Pampers. Right. But be generous to the men of God the way they minister. It's their way of moving into the Spirit. And if we don't flow along and we want them to minister, we hinder their anointing. Because, and Catherine Kuhlman also has an element of that. In one of her meetings in her days, her heydays of ministry, the ministers always sit in one whole row, usually behind her. Then when she wants to move in the Spirit, she is different. She must have absolute silence. And she don't have that, she'll scold you. And so it happened to be a charismatic meeting with a lot of Pentecostal pastors behind her. And as she said, in her usual style that Benny Hinn has a little bit of that, say, telling people to keep quiet, not blowing on people. See, a lot of people try to copy all this, but no power. She got anointing, they only got the methods. Because they don't understand the principles. When she needed that, for her, and when she said quiet, there was a few Pentecostal ministers who love to pray in tongues. And they are there, and one of them goes, just a bit softly, and Catherine looked right at him and said, I say silence. I tell you, that was a big, big man of God. A big pastor. He would feel embarrassed. But in the biography by Jamie Buckingham, Jamie says, Catherine Kuhlman is Catherine Kuhlman. She gets what she wants when it's her meeting. No matter who organized it, if she is there, it becomes her meeting. You must do exactly like her. So everybody submits. And so that Pentecostal pastor goes, but they got the healing, they got the anointing, they got the miracle, so nobody fast or fret.
Now my meetings are different, right? Don't try to, you know, think that I require all these things when I teach all these things, right? You know, I don't mind some children running here and there, you know, a little bit here. I understand, you know, and all these things. Catherine Kuhlman, the moment the children cry, the big usher will come. Right? That's what she's like. I'm different, and I enjoy intercessors like our sister here, you know, sitting around praying in tongues. No problem. I love the sound of it, right? Different ministry. But understand the principle behind it is the staff. And Benny Hinn, if you watch him very carefully, have a little bit of that. When he ministers, he doesn't want anyone moving behind him. You know why? It takes the attention away from him, and he wants people to concentrate everything on him. Every move he makes, every sound he makes, every action he takes, he must concentrate. Right? I remember watching a video, somebody was moving behind, he said, "Stop!" Right? See, what kind of this queer, peculiar man of God, you know? Understand the principles. It's the staff, the authority that they wield. Outside of it, if you're in and you're the host church, you will be an authority, and they will flow along. But in the meeting, it becomes their authority that works, and you've got to submit exactly to the way you want they want. But being a pastor, I tend to tolerate a bit, no problem. Because if you have pastor any church, you realize in Jesus' time, the children are running all over, you know, women are chatting here and there, here, in his meetings. I mean, Jesus didn't say, you know, on the hillside, and Mount Olive, quiet! Didn't. I mean, there are people moving around here, a few young boys, donkeys, you know, moving all over the place, you know. Right. So, we flow along at a level. But I will guarantee you this, you know, because ours is a teaching meeting. But when I begin to move in the Spirit, I would possibly require the same kind of thing. And I'll be very, very strict. Especially if I know that let's say when the majority of people come expecting a miracle and a lot of them are sick and wheelchairs are all around and they expect me to draw onto that strong anointing of God, I may require that. And I will be very strict on who goes up here, very strict on who leads the song, very strict on who the musicians are, very strict on who gets on the front seat. I will be very strict when I am required to move into that too. But because people are today more hungry for teaching, that we concentrate on this teaching area. But I would say, you know, when you become occasional and people are looking for miracles and there's not many people, today there are many people who have learned to lay hands on the sick and so people know where to get their healing. Churches are learning to pray on that. But there can be a level where a person gets more rare and you want all you get from that. Then you want them. And I could sense it when people want that higher level of experience and anointing and moving the Spirit, I could sense it in my spirit. And when I know that it's required of me, I'll be very strict from start to finish. Because to tap into that level, you require the staff to begin working. Praise the Lord. That is why when Elisha was asked to draw an anointing, he got a minstrel playing. And while he's playing that, he even scolded the king of Israel. Says, "If not for Jehoshaphat, I don't want to see your face." Continue worshipping God. That's in 2 Kings chapter 3. Now the king of Israel cannot say anything because they are all dying. Without Elisha, they'll be dead. They'll perish. So they want to live, so no choice, I've got to put up with this guy, whom he doesn't like.